This is Father Bill Casey of the Fathers of Mercy, and you've heard him on KCRD for years. He's been a staple at EWTN television and radio. And the book is You Shall Stand Firm, Preserving the Faith in an Age of Apostasy. You may not recognize him, but when you hear the voice, you're going to say, I know that guy. Let's have a big round of applause for Father Bill Casey.
Well, I want to thank Tom and everyone, Aquinas Communications, for inviting me to come here tonight and spend this time with you. Thanks be to God, we got a beautiful day, and it's a beautiful venue and a great banquet. And I was offered a couple of free drinks sitting back there. I had to turn them down. I didn't want to get busted for PUI. Not DUI, PUI, preaching under the influence. That's confessional matter for a priest. So hopefully I can preach under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But I am delighted and honored to be here. I wish that I could stand up here and tell you that this is a great time for the church. We all know that it isn't. It is an awful time for the church. It is a time of great crisis and corruption and confusion in the church. We know we're living at the time of a great loss of faith, a great apostasy, if you will. And we are up to our necks in scandal. And everywhere that I go, traveling around the country, preaching parish missions and retreats, I meet good Catholics, rank and file Catholics, who I find often are confused, frustrated, and even angry because what they see going on in the church today. They're looking for answers, and they feel like they are not getting them. That's why I wrote the book. Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to compare the church to Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark carrying the remnant of the faithful to salvation through the storms of life and the flood tide of evil in the world. And he used to say, with all those animals in Noah's Ark for all that time, you can bet there were times when things were smelling pretty bad in there. So it is today. But, you know, any serious student of church history will be quick to tell you that the normative state of the church is turmoil, conflict, struggle. The church, the bride of Christ, will always follow her divine spouse along the way of the cross. And this is how God gives his faithful people the opportunity to practice heroic virtue. And history has proven time and time again, God always raises up the greatest saints in times of crisis and conflict in his church. And I believe the present age will be no different. And I always say this, I believe this sincerely, the bottom of my heart. There has got to be a special place in heaven for those who remain faithful to Holy Mother Church now, in the midst of all this. But there's an old saying that history repeats itself. We can think, for example, of the 13th century, a century in the church very much like our own. It was in the 13th century that God called the holy Saint Francis of Assisi to rebuild his church. Our Lord spoke to Saint Francis and said, "My church is in ruins. My church is in ruins. Rebuild my church." Now, like the good people, the faithful Catholics who stood with Saint Francis back in the 13th century, we can ask ourselves the question, how do we help rebuild the church? Here's how we do it. We start with ourselves. We do it by building and rebuilding our own spiritual lives. We do it by answering the call that God has given to each one of us to be men and women of faith, prayer, and devotion. Pope St. John Paul II used to say, we must be Catholic Christian men and women who are not content with spiritual mediocrity. Not satisfied just to be seen as like good people or nice people. That of itself is not good enough in the sight of Almighty God. Nice. That of itself is not going to get anybody to heaven. I've known a lot of nice people in my time who are living very immoral lives. Friends, for us, it's got to be more than that. It's got to go deeper than that. We are called to be a holy people. And God help us, the church needs saints now more than ever before. I believe that we are living truly at a decisive moment. A very grave hour for the church, for our country, and for the entire world. I think you all know, we are no longer living in a society rooted in Judeo-Christian values. All that was over more than a generation ago. Those of us who grew up in the 60s and the 70s know that very well. We are living in a society, a culture that is now dominated, characterized by paganism. What is paganism? The essence of paganism is idolatry. And the worst, the most insidious kind of idolatry is the worship of the self, the exaltation of the self over God. That's where we are now, the mindset of the modern world. At the time of the American Revolution, the great statesman Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. My brothers and sisters in Christ, for far too long, too many of us Christians have been content, complacent, satisfied to sit back and stand by idly and do nothing. Sit back and watch the pagan conquest of this country. How many millions of Catholic parents have there been who have been content and satisfied to watch not just the pagan conquest of the country, but the pagan conquest of their own homes, their own families, and their own kids? And I'll tell you what, I get very, very sick of hearing Catholics say, there is nothing we can do. Please, don't ever say, there's nothing I can do. That statement is an insult to God. That statement is an implicit denial of God's power and God's grace. There is a lot you can do. There's a lot we can do individually and collectively. We can pray. We can fast. We can offer sacrifices to God our Father in heaven. We can take part in Eucharistic adoration. We can pray the Holy Rosary. We can pray the chaplet of the Divine Mercy. We can stand up, speak up, and rise up in charity to defend the cause of Christ, the cause of truth. And a great way to do that is to support the work of Catholic media, Aquinas Communications. We ask ourselves the questions, how did we get here? How did we come to this point of apostasy? How did we come to the spiritual, moral bankruptcy we are now in? I believe the answer to that question lies in God's words to the prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. God said to the prophet Hosea, my people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. A while back, I heard a story, a true story, about a Catholic woman who went on a shopping trip in New York City, and she went in one of the big department stores there to buy a gift for someone, And she went over to the jewelry department and she asked to look at a crucifix on a gold chain. And the young saleswoman working at the counter opened up the display case and said to her, "Now, which one do you want to see? Do you want to see the plain one or the one with the little man on it?" That sounded funny to me when I first heard it, but if you think about it, you realize it's also very sad. In fact, it is pathetic. Because it seems like for most people today, that's all that Jesus is. That's what our Lord has become. A little man. A little man without an identity. A little man without a face. Without a name. Without a history. And this is really the great tragedy of our time, because if there are still so many today who don't want to recognize the image of Jesus Christ on the cross, if they don't know Christ crucified, how can they ever be ready to meet the risen Lord when he comes? And how can they ever come to recognize him in the Holy Eucharist, where his real presence is hidden under the appearance of bread and wine? It is impossible. And friends, don't think something like this, the story that I just told you, is all that uncommon these days. It isn't. How often now do we come in contact, for example, with young people, high school, college age, not only don't know the basics of faith, but don't know the basics, the history and heritage we have as a people? We meet young people, for example, who don't know who George Washington was. They don't know who Ben Franklin was. They don't know who Abraham Lincoln was. They don't know who U.S. Grant was, or Teddy Roosevelt, or Churchill. Right? They might have heard those names before at some point in time, but who they were, what they did, they're clueless. So should we be surprised when we hear about young people who don't even know who Jesus is? Are people being destroyed for lack of knowledge? The sad fact is, for the majority of people in our society today, our Lord and Savior has become that little man. And we see the signs and the proof of this all around us today. We see it, for example, in the way that God has been driven out of public life, driven out of public education, driven off of our college campuses, driven out of government, driven out of politics, driven out of the courts, driven out of the practice of law, driven out of the practice of medicine, driven out of the news and entertainment medias, driven out of the military now, driven out of business and economics. We see it in the words and the actions of so many of our politicians and our judges who are trying to redefine the principle of the separation of church and state. I mean, the separation of God from life. Official banishment of God from the order of his own creation. Today, the true God has been driven out. We see the rise of a false God in his place. False God, the triune God of the modern world, is money, sex, and technology. The true God has been driven out. It is our sacred duty to try to get him back in again. It is your particular duty as members of the lay faithful to do whatever you can do by the grace of God, to get him back in again. The Second Vatican Council taught the primary mission of the Catholic laity is to sanctify the temporal order. You see, where God's been driven out, you get him back in again. It can still be done. Pope St. John Paul II, in his first trip to America as Cardinal Wojtyla, spoke at the Eucharistic Congress in Philadelphia. He gave the farewell address at that time, and he said these prophetic words, quote, "We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has ever experienced. I do not think the wide circle of the American society or the wide circle of the Christian community realize this fully. We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between Christ and the antichrist. This confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. It is, therefore, a trial which the church must take up and face courageously. We must prepare ourselves to suffer great trials before long, such as will demand of us a disposition to give up even life and a total dedication to Christ and for Christ. With your and my prayers, it is possible to mitigate the coming tribulation, but it is no longer possible to avert it, because only thus can the church be effectively renewed. How many times has the renewal of the church sprung from the shedding of blood? This time, too, it will not be otherwise. We must be strong and prepared and trust in Christ and in His Holy Mother and be very, very assiduous in praying the Holy Rosary," end quote. Pope St. John Paul II said many times, "We are living at the time of the greatest battle between good and evil that the world has ever known." Now, I love to say this. People are taken aback when I say it. You know that when you're in war, when you're in battle, you can't win unless you got the right kind of weapons. You can't win unless your weapons are better than the weapons your enemies are using against you. I say, I don't want to scandalize anybody. I am a priest, but I own an assault weapon. That's right. I say, you don't know it. You can't see it, but I have with me right here behind this pulpit my assault weapon. I've got a high-capacity magazine and a 50-round clip. Here is the weapon to assault the gates of hell, the Holy Rosary. Right? The invincible weapon that comes to us directly from heaven through the hands of our Blessed Mother. Padre Pio, recall, called the rosary his weapon, the shield against Satan. Pope St. Pius X used to say, "Give me an army of holy souls praying the rosary, and I will conquer the world." Now, I have spent the better part of the last 30 years on the road, living out of my suitcase, preaching the gospel. And friends, I'm sorry to tell you that everywhere we go today, and I mean everywhere, we are seeing the terrible effects of the great loss of faith in our time. And it seems like every Catholic family has been wounded in some way in this great abandonment of faith in our day. It seems like every American family has been impacted in one way or another, wounded in one way or another. For example, wounded by addiction in one form or another, wounded by drugs. Are you aware of the fact, this number comes from the CDC for what it's worth, right? In just the past year, 108,000 Americans, most of them young Americans, have died of drug overdoses. The big killer right now, in fact, the leading killer of American young people is fentanyl, the deadly synthetic opioid poison, which is flooding across that southern border, which is now essentially wide open. Let me try to put this in some perspective for you. As we try to grasp the enormity of what is going on today, right? In the 12 years of American military involvement in the Vietnam War, from 1961 to 1973, 58,000 Americans died trying to stop the advance of communism in Southeast Asia. 58,000 dead, 12 years. In the span of just 1 year, twice that many Americans have died. We are now seeing the biggest mass killing of Americans since the Civil War. Let me use this analogy also. Imagine, if you will, a jumbo jetliner with 300 passengers on board, 300 Americans. One jumbo jetliner crashing somewhere in this country every single day. Do you think something would get done about it? I think it would. But what is being done about the opioid crisis? Essentially, effectively nothing. So we see the families wounded by drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sexual abuse. We see the families wounded by pornography, the great moral pandemic of our time, poisoning souls and minds and marriages more with every passing day. We see the families wounded by infidelity, bad marriages, family breakup, and all the emotional and psychological devastation that goes with that. We see the families wounded by suicides, record numbers among American young people. We see the families wounded by crime, violence, atheism, whatever. I think all of us here would have the good sense to realize we are now living at the time of a tragic, disastrous, spiritual, and moral collapse that threatens not just the life of souls, but the very life and future of this country. And if you don't believe that, all you have to do is read through the Bible. Look through the Old Testament. Look at the facts of history. They don't lie. And I believe that we are moving on a course towards socialism at breakneck speed. I remember something that was said by Pope St. John the 23rd about socialism. He said, when a nation embraces socialism, two things are inevitable: loss of prosperity and loss of freedom. Loss of prosperity, loss of freedom. Friends, that is precisely where we are headed unless we somehow turn the tide now. The spiritual battle of our time is very quickly becoming the spiritual massacre of our time, and time is not on our side in all this. There is no time to lose. We know that spiritual renewal cannot be accomplished without the all-important work and influence of Catholic media. The vitally important mission of organizations like Aquinas Communications. You have the opportunity, by the grace of God, to do your part, to turn the tide that is bringing about the ruin of our people, our families, and the church in this country. The late Father John A. Hardin, the great Jesuit theologian, arguably the greatest dogmatic theologian this country has ever produced. His cause for canonization has been introduced in Rome by Cardinal Burke. But he said these prophetic words not long before his death in December of 2000. Quote, "We are living the most critical century in Christian history. We must now exhaust ourselves to learn and live the faith, speak, write, and teach it. Unless true and loyal Catholics have the zeal and the spirit of the early Christians, unless they are willing to do what they did and pay the price that they paid, the days of America are numbered. The most basic need in the modern world is the evangelization of those who have not yet received the gospel and the re-evangelization of so many de-Christianized cultures in our day. That need is to proclaim the gospel to people in today's world who are more than ever in need of Christ and his teaching. It must include Christ's teaching in the moral order. Moreover, this evangelization must be supported by the holiness of life of those who proclaim the gospel." End quote. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says this in paragraph 1270, quote, "Reborn as sons of God, the baptized must profess before men the faith they have received from God through the Church and participate in the apostolic and missionary activity of the people of God." End quote. My brothers and sisters, the key word here is the word must. We must profess the faith. We must participate in the apostolic and missionary activity of the church. We must keep the faith. You must do your part. That's what we must do. Here is what we must not do. We must not surrender the airwaves to the enemies of Christ. Not ever. How do we do this? How do we help turn back the flood tide of apostasy all around us today? How do you support the missionary activity of the church? How do you fulfill that obligation, that grave obligation, to take part in the apostolic activity of the people of God? This all-important work of evangelization, so vitally important to the life of the church and the salvation of souls. Again, an easy way, a simple way, a great way is to give your support, your generous support, to the work of Aquinas Communications. I'm sure that you've heard it said at one time or another that God will never be outdone in generosity. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus said, "Whoever gives so much as a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who believes in me shall not lose his reward." So if there is an eternal reward from Jesus for giving a simple cup of cold water, how much greater will the reward be for those who give the Word of God, the Word of truth, the Word of life? Right? That is the work of Aquinas Communications. You know, we have two brothers, blood brothers I'm talking about. The Fathers of Mercy, two of our seminarians, who came to us from a diocese in California that is not known for traditional Catholicism, and that is an understatement. To give you an idea of the ecclesial environment that these brothers came up in, their bishop, 3 days before the last presidential election, made this public statement. He said, quote, "Public support for abortion does not make one a bad Catholic." That bishop has now been designated a cardinal by Rome. So I do not use the term apostasy lightly. We're living it right now. But the point is this. Those two brothers, they learned their Catholic faith, kept their Catholic faith, and came to their vocation to the holy priesthood by listening to Catholic radio. Catholic radio was the lifeline for them to hold on to their faith. And, you know, I could tell you stories like this all day long. You know, so often we'll hear from someone who might be just driving on a long trip or driving in rush hour traffic and surfing through the channels, through the radio, and they come across something on Catholic radio, something that is said that piques their interest, makes them stop and think. And they keep on listening, and they listen more and more and more, and it strikes a nerve in them. And they get hooked on it, right? And it results in the most amazing conversions you can imagine. They start listening, and they keep on listening. They make it a part of their lives. It happens all the time. Moral miracles happen all the time, my friends. So don't ever say there's nothing I can do. There's a lot you can do to support the work of Catholic media. As I say, time is not on our side in all this. Things are not getting better. They are getting worse. Right? Before I close, let me say this to you. By all external appearances, it may seem like the battle is already lost, like the people of God are hopelessly outnumbered and all the cards are stacked against us. But I will remind you that the final outcome is never in doubt for men and women of faith. I always say, I read the end of the book and we win. Jesus Christ is the ultimate victor in all this. His message is always the same, be not afraid. Pray always and never lose heart. St. Thomas Aquinas, in his treatise, his commentary on the virtue of fortitude, taught that it is far more virtuous, far more meritorious in the sight of Almighty God, to hold out in the face of a seemingly hopeless situation, to persevere in the face of great opposition, overwhelming odds arrayed against you, than it is to spread the faith with great ease and success. That's the way of the cross. It's the only way for us. You may recall Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say, God does not call us to be successful, only faithful. St. Teresa of Avila said this about the power of prayer. I'll leave you with this. I want you to remember this and don't ever forget it. God plus one is an army. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Thank you all.